90, cut 60. Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California.
That the mothers made it, and although my mother didn't know how to make them, we always got our share from the neighborhood.
Well, how about, you know, like during Chinese New Year's time, did the women visit, you know, or, you know, give out lay si, things like that?
They didn't give lay si because the neighborhood was extremely poor.
Mm-hmm.
The old folks do not like to talk about this, mm-hmm. and I know my folks don't like to talk, but I don't feel any shame in talking mm-hmm. about it. We were so poor, we had no furniture in the house. We mm-hmm. slept on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember that all we had was a table and wooden stools. That's all mm-hmm. we had. And for supper, sometimes we didn't really have much to eat.
Mm-hmm.
There were times when I could remember suppers just being soda cracker and water.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we had. And it was very hard times.
Now, how old were you when this was going on?
Oh, I was all the way up through junior high school. I was uh-huh. 12, 13 years old.
I see. Now, your family then, you know, ate mostly Chinese food?
Yeah, they ate Chinese food, but it wasn't like you would eat now because,
mm-hmm.
See, we were poor,
mm-hmm.
and vegetables, my father would buy a head of lettuce and just boil and water, put some soy sauce over it,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you'd have rice and you put a little soy sauce on mm-hmm. it, a little bit of lard on. That was all mm-hmm. we had. We were considered a little more fortunate than a couple of families there. They looked mm-hmm. to us as being wealthy.
Oh.
And those parents were fathers who didn't try to make a business, but they were working for people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very bad times.
How about fish, since your father was in the fish business?
Well,
did you get fish to eat?
Well, we had fish, yeah, sometimes, you know, we had it. And like I said, we had more to eat than I think some other families.
And then how about, well, did Gong Zhao try to help, or, you
no.
know, how about Zhonghua?
No.
Wigwen?
No.
How about family association?
Our family always stayed away from those type of politics.
Mm-hmm.
We never liked to get involved with them. And we didn't like the, we were always taught, and I still have the attitude right now. I don't
mm-hmm.
like to get in, if for instance, if like this organization here, if it turns out to be a competition between popularity,
mm-hmm.
I would quit the membership. I would like an organization that you go there, and if it's a historical society,
mm-hmm.
you're interested in the history, and you're not interested in if this guy is better than that
mm-hmm.
guy, or so forth. I would completely dissociate myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why we were taught that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we never got into that type
mm-hmm.
of competition. Because one of the habits, and it still persists today in some of them, is the first thing is, what do you do, how successful you are, and so
mm-hmm.
forth. And we don't like to get involved
mm-hmm.
in those things.
So did your father join, you know, the family association at all?
No, never did.
Never did. Did he join
poor.
Any other organizations at all?
No.
How about in his business? Did he have
no.
to join some kind of...
Nothing.
Nothing at
Absolutely
all.
Nothing.
So he doesn't, you know, he didn't have to rely on being in an organization to
that's right.
to have his business or to continue his business.
No, he just we were a very independent family.
Uh-huh.
We although some of the families were in the family association and so
mm-hmm.
forth, we completely dissociate ourselves from it.
I see. Now, how about that? Do you recall, you know, when, say, old Chinatown was being torn down?
Oh, yes, I can recall.
Were you were living around that area still?
Well, no, I was living on, I was living in 9th Street,
mm-hmm.
and I used to sometimes go with my father when he had his peddling truck, and
uh-huh.
and I could recall those two-story brick buildings.
Which two-story brick building?
Old Chinatown used to consist of two-story brick buildings.
Oh, right along...
Where the Union Station is now.
I see. So your father had his peddling station up there, up to the time then that Old Chinatown was being torn down.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about that area?
Well, the thing I used to remember is that the my father had some restaurant customers, and I remember the old restaurants we used to deliver the stuff to. But the thing that I really remember is watching the trains come through Alameda Street. Passenger trains came right down Alameda Street.
Uh-huh.
And because the train station at that time was on 4th and Central. That was before the Union Station was built.
Uh-huh.
And also I can remember the days when the alfalfa trucks used to come in, and they used to just really come through real fast on Alameda Street, right through the Chinatown, because the feedlots were right next to Sears and Roebuck. They used to fatten cattle over there.
Now, what street is that?
That'll be Olympic Boulevard, and I think it'd be Soto.
Uh-huh. So then do you recall seeing Chinatown being torn down then?
I didn't see the actual tearing mm-hmm. down, because we lived over here, but
mm-hmm.
but I remember when the Union Station was built, and they had this train, but they had this with all those grandstands, and we mm-hmm. were, my folks managed to buy a ticket for us to sit uh-huh. there, and we saw the parade,
uh-huh.
and I remember when New Chinatown was built.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember about that?
Well, New Chinatown, I could remember that it was an old graveyard that they took over. And
Which graveyard?
New Chinatown.
Whose graveyard?
It was the, I don't know, it's belonged to the, don't know who it belonged to, a lot of old-time Los Angeles people were buried there.
Was it in a... abandoned graveyard at that time?
Well, I think so. They moved a lot of the, I think they moved a lot of the bones and the coffins. But that whole area where New Chinatown is now used to be a graveyard.
Oh.
And they were just clearing it up, and mm-hmm. And Chinatown was being built there.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember had the grand opening, and then Anna Mae Wong, that the movie star, uh-huh. you know, and she was the head of the parade, and had all these fireworks. Mm-hmm. And they used to string it up on that big pole there, and those big, huge boxes of fireworks. One would drop, the second would drop, the third uh-huh. would drop, and it gave. But that was the beginning of the good times for the Chinese. It was just the beginning, and it was. They had all these little stands. In New Chinatown, everybody had a chance to really make a fast buck then.
Mm-hmm.
And where the Hong Kong though is right now, mm-hmm. that area wasn't built up yet. So it had all these little stands, and it was like a carnival.
Oh.
And quite a few families cashed in on that.
Uh-huh. How about China City then? That was there. The
China City, no. China City, as I recall, and you'd have to check on the accuracy of that, mm-hmm. China City was not envisioned by the Chinese people. It was envisioned mm-hmm. by somebody who wasn't Chinese,
mm-hmm.
who built China City there. And I could remember the hard feelings when China City at that time was built, because it was in competition with New Chinatown.
Mm-hmm. But there were a number of Chinese...
a lot of Chinese.
People who went there and opened up business
in
China City.
But it never... China City, behind the stores on Spring Street, used to be a little alleyway with shops facing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see remnants of it in the parking lot mm-hmm. for Philippi's right mm-hmm. now. And at that time, when it first started, it was quite a novelty for the Chinese high school kids. They used to pull the rickshaws for the tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And but it didn't last very long.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what happened?
It just didn't make it financially.
I see. Now, how about Spring Street then, right behind it, where, a number of the Chinese stores are...
That's where China City was.
Right, but, you know, but the Chinese stores still are on, you know,
Spring
Street.
Oh, yeah, well, those stores, of course, they were the old stores. They're still surviving. They're now like the Guangdong Wall and Samsung Meat Market, George Wong Fish Market.
Now, when did those stores start up? Were
at
they
the time,
there before?
No, they were attracted there by China City.
Oh, I see. And then, do you know, now, did your folks have, well, let's see. Let me stop this for a minute.
Of the Chinese families, there were a few exceptional families who were able to at least understand a little bit of the American way of life, you see. And they, of course, were able to capitalize and earn some extra money, you see, more than those who clung on to the old Chinese ways, you see, which my family was one of them, you see. And I don't know if the old folks really had any goals for us except to excel in school and go to college.
And that's what most of the your family had that goal in mind for.
I think everybody, all the families had that, to have their children go to college. We've always heard stories of so-and-so graduated from college and he couldn't get hired on the job. There was people would have a bachelor's degree or a master's degree and some profession, and no one would hire them, you see. And so they ended up in the grocery stores and the restaurants and so forth, but they never gave up hope. And their intention was for us to go and get a profession and bring back something that the parents could be proud of and brag to their friends, you see. that was it. And like, for instance, when I wanted to go to college, our parents, and like other parents, weren't able to guide us. Because if you were to ask them to draw a picture of how much they knew about the city, I don't think they could draw it past 7th and Broadway from San Pedro Street, because that's all they knew.
They didn't go beyond that?
No, they didn't go beyond. They didn't take vacations. They worked 7 days a week, and they didn't associate with anybody but Chinese. And during those days, you had those Caucasian people who came in and took advantage of the Chinese. And knowing that they had no other way of getting help, they came in and really took advantage of the Chinese people.
Oh.
Well, some of them, I couldn't really pinpoint it, but I just felt that they sold the Chinese on things that they didn't need, and, you know, things like that. But I really couldn't put my finger, because I was too young. And there were also a couple Chinese people who managed to gain some friends among the Caucasian people, and then and then hired themselves out as liaisons, you say. But they were really taking advantage of the Chinese people, and they were making money that way. Not too much, but they did do that. And during the early days, I could also remember the policemen used to come around, and they used to come into that time. By that time, my father had a store, and they used to come in and to the store, and they order something, and you get it all wrapped up, and they show their badge, and then they walk off with your things. And they also bully the merchants over there, and they'll come Christmas. They just come there and expect to have gifts, and certain times of year, and you didn't give it out, well, then your customers always got ticketed. And that was because the Chinese people at that time were, they didn't go out to meet the people. They didn't know what their rights were, and they probably didn't have too much protection of their rights like we do today, you see. And so and I also remember inspectors coming in, and they would really act like very important people,
mm-hmm.
and try to bully around.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite different back in those days.
So when did you move out of that area? Did your family, did you as a family? You know,
no,
move out?
The family, my father's still in that area. And I moved out of the area right after I got out of the Army. I got married, and then
uh-huh.
I got as far as I could, which is this side of town.
Now, where did you go to college?
I went to USC.
USC. Now, yeah. When you went, did you go in the service before?
No, I had already gotten my bachelor's, and I got a bachelor's in petroleum engineering,
mm-hmm.
only because I wanted to be an engineer, and I didn't really know at that time that engineering was different branches of engineering. And I've always wanted to be an engineer for my kid. And at that time, when I was a kid, what I envisioned an engineer was, because I remember seeing the WPA workers,
uh-huh.
and I wanted to be the guy with the wheelbarrow. And someone told me that was an engineer. And so it just stuck to me. So when I was in junior high school, I took uh-huh. drafting and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to high school,
mm-hmm.
I went to Poly High School. Now, here's something that is very important as part of history.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the junior high schools that were largely black.
Mm-hmm.
The elementary school we went to was almost, I would say, three quarters white,
mm-hmm.
and the rest Oriental and Mexicans. Mm-hmm. We had a very good education in elementary school. When we went to junior high school, it was about 90% black,
mm-hmm.
and Mexican. The educational level of the school was so poor that we couldn't learn anything. We all, as kids at that age, we already understood what prejudice was, discrimination was.
Mm-hmm.
We also knew that we were getting a bad education. So most of us took down false addresses.
Mm-hmm.
to get into other schools. And we were always periodically, all the Chinese kids were periodically taken into the vice principal's office and grilled and see who would break.
Mm-hmm.
And then those who would break, they knew were on false addresses,
mm-hmm.
and they got shipped back to those schools.
Oh.
You see, now, if it wasn't for the fact that we also went on the false address,
mm-hmm.
that if we hadn't gone on a false address, I would have been that much far behind when I went to college, because I was already the first semester pretty far behind because of the language, the
mm-hmm.
words that they were using. We just didn't use those big words,
mm-hmm.
and so although we spoke English and all that, I really didn't quite understand the professor. It wasn't to my second year around then that I really caught on.
Mm-hmm. How about high school then? What was high school?
High school was Poly High School,
uh-huh.
and we had junior high school. During junior high school and high school, we had our Chinese clubs,
uh-huh.
and we were very strongly organized.
Uh-huh.
And we had our socials,
uh-huh.
and we didn't hang around too many people that was outside the Chinese group. I had quite a few friends that weren't Chinese, but the majority of the Chinese didn't associate with anybody but their own Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our dances.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have, of course, Thanksgiving dance and Christmas dance, New Year dance,
mm-hmm.
and they were very popular back in those days. We used to have what we call our record hops.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have these things, but just the records, and you pay 25 cents. And
where did you hold them?
We Your held dances. Them in, one of the places was the International Hall, which was on down in Soto Street. There was an auditorium that we get to use. And
uh-huh. Did they charge you for use of it?
Yeah, and we used to sell tickets, 25 cents, 50
uh-huh.
cents, and that paid for it.
Did you ever have bigger dances
Oh, yes. I was. Oh, yeah, because I was president of the Chinese club at Poly High School. And
what grade was that?
I was about the 11th grade at that time. And I organized a dance with a, I think it was a 15-piece orchestra. And we sold tickets at $1.25. And we made out. We didn't make any profit, but we made out. We had a.
You held that also at the international?
No. What we did, we got a hall right across the street from Westlake Park, which is MacArthur Park now. And we just went to different places and rented halls.
How did most of you kids get there then?
We just took streetcars.
You didn't have cars
then? No. Well, when I got to high school, I had a car, because by that time my folks were doing pretty well, you see. But back in those days, you didn't need a car. You can take a streetcar and go any place.
I see. So how about your you said you had a car. Now, was it your car or your father's car?
It was my own car.
Your own car. How about your family then?
That was the family car, but I had a car.
Oh, you had two cars?
No, just one car.
Oh, just
it was my car.
It was your car. You bought it.
No, my father gave it to me.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah.
As a gift or?
Oh, yeah, they just gave me a car.
Why did they do that?
Well, they just gave me a car and asked. One day my mother asked me if I wanted a car. It was She says it was an old car, and I says I didn't care. I took it.
So did you have to have a license or anything?
Oh,
like
yes.
That?
Oh,
to,
yeah. We had a I think I forgot how old you had to have, but I had a driver's license.
How old were you at that time?
Oh, I was in high school then. I was at least 16 years old.
And you could have a license and drive then.
Yeah.
At that time.
Mm-hmm.
That was why I was wondering whether or not you had a license. But in those days, you were obviously you could drive a car at a much younger age.
Yeah. See. Now we have gone into a period of prosperity. Now you see.
I see. Yeah. So how about the rest of your brothers and sisters?
No, they didn't have a car. I was the only one that had the car and.
They all went on to college also?
Every one of us went to college.
And did you have to work your way through college?
No, my folks put me through college, put every one of us through college.
Through the fish store business?
Oh, yeah.
And so all of your brothers and sisters are in the profession?
Oh, yes.
Has anyone, thought of, well, did your father encourage anybody, to stay in the business with him?
I didn't think he wanted us to do it. He wanted all of us to be on our own.
Uh-huh. And then?
Because at that time, I was willing to take over the business.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't want to move over. And so I just heard this from other people that my father told other people. He says, I'll do whatever they want. Put them through school, any school they want. But the day they quit school, if they walk out and don't finish school, they're on their own.
How did your mother feel? Did she feel that anyone should, continue in the business with you?
No, actually, my parents really wasn't that old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't try to tell us what to do or what course to take or so forth. And they didn't say, we want you to take over the business or something. But they didn't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there were quite a few families. I used to work at the store for my father every weekend. And there were quite a few people who had daughters that tried to match me off. And and my mother would always say, you don't understand my children. I couldn't match them if I wanted to.
Independent.
Yes, we were very independent.
Now, I forgot to ask you. You said you had how many brothers and sisters?
I got two brothers and three sisters.
Oh, okay. Now, what are their Chinese names?
My sister is Wen Fei.
Uh-huh. How about your other sister?
And the other sister is Ha Fei. And my youngest sister, I don't know her Chinese name.
Uh-huh.
And then my brother is Hong Fei.
Uh-huh.
And then my younger brother is Wood Fee.
I see. So all of you then were given the same common character.
Oh, yeah, we follow the family tradition.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your, who named you?
My father.
The Chinese names.
My father.
That's marvelous. Your grandfather didn't have anything to do with it.
No. My father knew the lineage, you know, from that poem, you know. That family thing.
Oh, so the fae comes from the family.
Oh, yeah, we have our genealogy.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I have it. It goes back 700 years.
Now?
700 years.
I see. So which generation are you in this?
I think we're the 40th generation from the first person who reached the South China. See, our family, 40 generations back, our family comes from Honam.
I see.
On my father's side.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how many generations back, but on my mother's side, they come from Gamsoksan.
What is that?
Western China.
I see. So you, now you have how many children?
I have three.
You have three. Now, did you give them Chinese names?
Oh, yes.
And then did you name them yourself, or did you?
No, I have my father do it.
You have your father do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did he also follow the poem?
Yes, he did. He did.
I see.
Yeah.
So he took the next word in this poem. Now, how long is this poem? How many words are there?
I have no idea. It's.
I thought you had it.
My father knows it. I have the genealogy.
Oh, but I thought you had the...
No, I don't have the poem. I just have the genealogy.
Of all the generations.
Yes.
Back,
yeah.
According to, you know, well, they're mostly males, right?
All males. And it is really of no real value because it didn't tell what anyone did. It's just names.
It's just names.
Yeah.
So you can see which generation.
Yeah. All I could tell you is that the earliest fellow was from Honam, and we're about the 40th generation, and it's just names, that's all.
Now, so you have three children. They're what, a boy?
Two boys and a girl.
Two boys and a girl. So did you give the same, do all their Chinese names have one common character?
Oh, yes.
So both boys and girls.
Yeah.
So how about your other relatives then? Like your father, your father was an only child.
Right.
Right, so. So, how about your brothers and sisters, and when they named their children,
they follow that
they
too.
They follow the same.
Oh yeah, they follow that.
Thing. So that all the
our generation followed the same word.
Right, your generation did, and your children's generation
follow
and their
the same
cousins
word.
All have the same.
Oh yeah,
all have the same word. What is that word?
I think it's way.
Way.
Yeah.
I see. So it's for both boys and girls in your family.
Oh yeah.
I see.
Oh yeah.
That's interesting.
I wanted to ask you, taking you back to high school again now. Now, were you dating and going out with girls at that time?
Yeah.
In high school.
It wasn't a date like you think of today. I went to their house and the high school dance. Took them to the high school dance and.
Now, were you dating mostly Chinese girls or other?
Not 50-50.
50-50.
Yeah.
These are girls among your classmates then.
Well, some of them were in the neighborhood. They're Chinese or Japanese. I had no scruples about what they were.
How about your parents? How did they feel?
Well, I really didn't care.
Did they ever say anything?
Well, I know my mother wanted us to be just Chinese, but I really didn't care.
Uh-huh.
Because I felt it was my own life, and I could have married a Japanese or a Mexican or whatever. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter to me.
And then it wouldn't matter to your parents either in the final.
I don't think they knew me well enough so that they just had to accept it.
Now, how about when you were going, to college? Were you involved in? Was there a Chinese club there?
Oh yes, there was
college?
A Chinese club, and I was pretty active in that Chinese club.
And now, was the Chinese club composed mostly of American-born or
yes.
Chinese?
There was a definite division between the Chinese from China and the American Chinese, just as back in the early days, there were a division between the Chinese that were raised here and those that were brought back during the war. Mm-hmm. And eventually, there was no distinction between the two. And then when we went to college, there was a distinction between those who were the Chinese from China and those who were here. The Chinese from here were they were more adapt to the customs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that the Chinese from here went as far as those from China. Some of them, in terms of success and professions, you know, because those Chinese from China were, of course, the cream, you know. Mm-hmm. They were the ones who gone on for the PhDs and so mm-hmm. forth, and the Chinese here, some of them went for the PhD and so forth, but a lot of them stopped at a bachelor's or a master's degree. Most of them stopped at a bachelor's.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you socialize very much with...
I got along with both,
mm-hmm.
because I really wanted to know both of them.
Mm-hmm.